reading at verse 43 to the words of Jesus. Kind of a surprising thing for a preacher to say, Jesus, that is, but as you know, Jesus said the things that needed to be said. And he says, starting in verse 43, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Sound of pitter-patter of little feet and voices. We were blessed Christmas Day to have a child in our home and some older boys, small children. But it seemed like the enemy was trying to spoil Christmas. You ever had that happen before? Every Christmas, huh? It turned out to be a praise. As I'm planning to be home for Christmas, and I'm up in the state of Washington and then Oregon, work kind of fell through. And how many of you like giving your employer back 2 days' wages or 3 days' wages? You ever done that? The day before Christmas, how's that going to make your Christmas? You have to give up your wages for 2 or 3 days. That's what it was spelled out for us to look like. So, as work canceled on Christmas Eve, that was, Tuesday morning, we took it to the Lord in prayer, we went and had worship, made some phone calls, and the Lord spun it around. Instead of losing 2 days of wages, he gave us an extra day's wage for doing the same amount of work, a bonus. Yeah, so praise the Lord. He does mighty things. Message today is the Christian life. What's it look like? You know, with a new year ahead of us, what better time than now to reaffirm our decision to walk the Christian walk, live the Christian life. But what does it mean? What does it entail? What are the benefits? What are the expectations? What are the costs? One of our Christmas guests walked into our home and immediately started talking about cavemen. And I listened, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This young man had some years ago chosen a Bible as his gift. And if he'd been continuing to read it like he started out reading it, he wouldn't be talking about cavemen. So I said, Lord, how do we
that.
It's just a theory, right? And you know that evolution is a theory, right? You say, well, I guess so. I go, and you know that creation is a science that's proven. God spoke and light came forth. Thank you so much, Randy, for those slides. It just reminded us of the creativity of our God. And we had to risk your own safety to get some of those pictures. Some of those pictures we've never seen before, because I don't think photographers have captured some of that beauty. Just gorgeous. And so, our God can be proven, tested and proven. Creation can be proven to be true. Not only did God speak all through the week of creation, and things happened. Light came forth, the firmament was formed, life was given to animals, Adam and Eve. And then there's the story of the flood that can be proven scientifically. And then I reminded one of our guests in the home, doesn't the Bible say that in the last days men will run to and fro? Isn't that what we are doing? With a million people or more in the air at any given moment in time, and then we're all racing around on the highways. And then, of course, prophecies are being fulfilled. So the Christian faith can be proven. Experientiality, and through, and thus saith the Lord, God's word. Well, Christian life begins like this. The psalmist summed it up. He said, your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not do what against you? Sin against you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How can we know that God accepts us, that we're accepted of God, in other words? Okay, by faith. We're going to look at some of the attributes of the Christian faith this morning. And one is that he or she is a student of the Word of God. And as you said, brother, the Christian will have faith in God, and the Christian will be praying to the God of heaven. But still, how do you know whether you're accepted of God? Study, pray over it. Communicate with God. And you know, we should not lay this book aside for any other book. This should be the focus every morning, spending time with our great God. This book convinces us of sin, doesn't it? It reveals the way of salvation. It brings to light glorious rewards, both here and in the life hereafter. This book reveals to us a complete Savior who teaches us, and we learn about his boundless mercy, and we can have the expectation of salvation. We should never neglect the study of God's word or secret prayer, for it is the soul of religion. As we study and pray, we should pray for purity of our souls, for we live in a very contaminated world. And in rubbing shoulders with worldlings, we have to be guarded that it doesn't contaminate our soul. Scripture in 1 Corinthians, we're told that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, old things have become new. And Paul emphasized this point over and over again in his writings. As he was calling upon the Corinthians, commandment in the Galatians. 2, forsake idolatry. Now that sounds like a foreign concept in our generation. We don't see people actually physically worshiping idols. So what's the modern day application for us? How do we forsake idolatry? The most common idol is actually self, okay? Self-worship, self-elevation. People that know us in business refer to us as being self-employed. It's kind of a misnomer. God's our employer. That's the way we look at it. And we look to Him marching orders every morning if we do the right thing every morning. And so it's interesting how the world elevates those who are considered to be in control of their self, whether it's in business or sports or entertainment. And so people actually become idols in our generation. And then, of course, there's materialism. It can be food, it can be clothing, it can be a number of things. Adornment. Idols have different shapes and forms in our generation. The enemy is very deceptive, even fooling many Christians into some form of idolatry. So God's word, it guides us through the way of the Holy Spirit to understand how the Christian is to walk and behave and not be caught off guard, falling into some form of idolatry. So again, the attributes of a Christian are student of the word, will have faith in God, praise to God, things have passed away. You see, we are going to stand or fall as Christians upon the Word of God. In it, we find out what's required of us as a Christian. Gives us instruction how to put on the armor of God so that we can have a shield from the fiery darts of the enemy. Just like a good soldier will not leave the battlefield until there's a victory obtained, it's the same for the Christian. Now, Paul used examples about training, being a strong runner, and keeping your eye single to the finish line. Because an athlete that doesn't finish well has no respect. And so we are on this battlefield called planet Earth. And there are skirmishes that we are engaging in, like it or not. And it is largely up to us. In order to be victorious, we have to have our eyes single to our commander, Jesus Christ, and His orders. So, the apostles had great love for the churches they were writing to. They often had very tender greetings. But he referred to their experiences from their past life to the new life, to turn from idolatry to the worship and the service of the true God, 1 Corinthians. And then there was further admonition in the book of Acts 2:38, which said, repent, each of you, witness of these things, and so it is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. So additional attributes to the Christian. Let's review. Student of the Word. We'll have faith in God. How are we doing so far? How are you doing so far in your own experience? The Christian will have, will be praying to God, is a new creation. And we just learned in the last verses we read, the Christian is one who repents and obeys. Additionally, the Christian is one who receives the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So in addition to the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are a variety of gifts. And we'll look at those here in a moment as well. Because the gifts of the Spirit, or a gift of the Spirit, gives to each believer, it's given for a purpose, and it's not for idolatry, self-worship, or self-advancement. In everything ye are enriched by him, the apostle wrote, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had many, intellectual endowments, if you will, but his life revealed a power of rare wisdom. He had quickness of insight, sympathy of heart. He was brought into close contact with others, enabling him to arouse to their better nature and inspire them to strive for a higher life. His love, like ours should be, was filled with an earnest love for his fellow Christians. And it was the purpose through his writings to inspire them, because he longed to see them revealing an inward piety that will fortify them against temptation. Backslidden Christians, they were like a target for him. He wanted to see them turn back to the true living God. He also knew that every step on the path that a Christian takes in the right direction would be opposed by the synagogue of Satan. He also knew that Christians would be engaged in conflict daily, with self and with the synagogue of Satan. As Christians, we are to guard against the stealthy approach of the enemy. You know, in military warfare now, we have stealth machines. They've been around for a while, and they're not easily detected now. In fact, oftentimes it's nearly impossible to detect by an enemy unless they have special equipment to detect stealth machines. Our enemy is like that. There's a famous quote that Christ's methods alone, regarding evangelism, that Christ's methods alone are will bring success. You know, he mingled with men, had compassion, men and women, had compassion for them, he healed their diseases, and that we should pattern Christ's model to win people for the kingdom. But also there's Christ's model for being victorious over temptation. Gifts of healing, striving, how much more willing our sacrifice and self-denial. In Hebrews 12:1-2, I don't think I have this on screen, it says to let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're told to put away as Christians envy, malice, evil thinking, evil speaking, covetousness. See, these are weights that pull us down. Christians must lay them aside in order to run successfully. I was sharing this with an individual recently who probably wasn't familiar with the story. David, when he was called to go, he volunteered to challenge Goliath. And King Saul gave him his armor. And David walked towards Goliath in that armor a bit. And then he returned and gave it back to the king. He says, I can't have this. This armor hasn't been proven. I can't use it. Thank you, but it's yours to keep. It weighted him down. Probably weighed as much as David weighed himself. Now it's very heavy. And so David went on, of course, to be a victor over the enemy, in this case Goliath, because he had tested and proven the strength and stone, and he was extremely accurate. Heard it said he gathered 5 stones, not because he needed 5 chances to hit Goliath, but because Goliath had 4 runners. David knew in this instance what it was like to train, to prove the equipment, and to win the battle. And no doubt angels guided the stone to the forehead of Goliath that David had practiced. So we must lay aside as Christians the weights that hold us back from running the race victoriously. Every habit or practice that leads into sin and brings dishonor upon Christ must be put away, whatever the sacrifice. We're told that the blessing of heaven cannot attend any man in violating the eternal principles of right. One sin cherished is sufficient to work degradation of character and to mislead others. Acts of the Apostles, page 312. That takes us to our scripture reading. If thy hand causes thee to stumble, the Savior said, cut it what? Cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed rather than having by two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. And if thy foot causes thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee